our ways of thinking would be changed, our minds would be transformed, and that is definitely my prayer. All right. Well, if you weren't here last week, we are taking 2 weeks, last Sunday and today, to take a time out in life and to be introspective, because this doesn't usually happen because life is so busy and we get so caught up in it, etc. But we need to do and to do that and to take those times to stop and say, let me look at how I'm living my life. And the question last week, and again for you here today, is what path is your life on? Now, you know that we're great at convincing ourselves that we're okay when we're not. And especially spiritually, that's this spiritual battle that we talk about. And whether you call yourself a Christian this morning or you've not made that decision, you need to stop and say, what path is my life on? Jesus talks about this and asks this question. And last week we went over a couple verses in Matthew, and Jesus said this. He said that to enter by the narrow gate, can we go to the first slide please? Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Now when you hear these verses, and maybe you don't normally come to church, you're like, yeah, there's the fire and brimstone and all this stuff about like hell and all that. No, this is Jesus speaking out of love. When I tell my kids they have to do their homework and brush their teeth and eat their vegetables, it's not because I'm mean, it's because I love them. And this is Jesus saying, seriously, that small is the gate and narrow the road. And it's not that it's like that hard and you're going to be that perfect. Jesus is saying, I'm the only way. He's the only way. And that's just truth is what that is. The Bible also says that there is a way that seems right to people, but the end of it is death. And that's just the way of life. That's the way of the world. That's our own ways until we turn our hearts to Jesus. We can convince ourselves that any way to live is right and okay. And this is what the world's done since the beginning of time and does even now today. Next slide, please. He goes on to say, not everyone who says to me, Lord, will enter heaven, but only those who do God's will. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, didn't we prophesy and drive out demons and perform miracles and believe you existed and came to church sometimes and were a good person? And I could go on. And Jesus is like, no, I have to know you. And if you're here this morning, I know that you know in your heart whether you know Jesus or not. You know whether you have recognized God as sovereign in your life. God is real. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. He's forgiven me of my sins. I've turned my life to Him. I have joy and peace and all these things because of that. And you know whether that's true or not. You know whether you're trying to live by God's Word. You know whether you're living in sin. Not that you struggle with it, but if you're just living in it and you have an approach about sin that's like, I don't really know what it is and maybe I just know and don't care. That's a heart that doesn't know Jesus. So what gate will you arrive at? We talked last week, there's two gates. There's the broad and then there's the narrow. And the broad gate is live however you want. Bring anything you want when it's time to stand before God or go to heaven. You can live in sin. You can do whatever you want. Think however you want. Anything goes. But that broad gate does not lead to heaven and to life. There's a narrow gate that is Jesus Christ and Jesus alone. And so today, this is our second week of talking about two ways to live your life. We talk about going into heaven. Have you ever heard the term pearly gates? Now, I don't know if there's actually going to be pearly gates or not, but I have a good story about that. There was a lady who died, and she arrived at the pearly gates, and she looks in, and she sees all of her family and friends in there, and they're at this banquet table, and they're enjoying, and they're like, hey, we've been waiting for you. Come on in. This is just the beginning of heaven. It's so wonderful. We've been waiting for you. So this lady looks in, and she's like, this is such an incredible place. How do I get in? There's a gatekeeper, of course, at the pearly gate. So she looks at the gatekeeper and says, I, of course, want to get in. What do I have to do to get into heaven? And the gatekeeper looks at her and says, you just have to spell a word correctly. She's like, well, I can probably do that. What's the word? The gatekeeper says the word is love. So she looks at the gatekeeper and says, L-O-V-E. The gatekeeper says, come on in. You get into heaven. And she's like, yes, wonderful. So time passes, and in heaven, you know, you have jobs, you have stuff to do. And it turns out that a few years later, it was her job to keep the gate. So this same woman was the gatekeeper, and time passes, and all of a sudden, up shows up her widowed husband. And she's like, wow, I'm surprised to see you here. And he says, well, he goes, yeah, it's good to see you. She goes, well, how's life? What happened after I died? He said, well, do you know that good-looking young nurse that was helping take care of you, that after you died, her and I hit it off and we ended up getting married? And she's like, oh, wow, okay. And he says, and it gets even better. Of course, once she moved in, we realized that you guys were the same size. All of your clothes fit. So she started wearing all of your clothes. And it gets even better. You know how we've always struggled financially and it was always we were trying to make ends meet our whole life? Shortly after we got married, her and I won the lottery and just had more money than you can ever dream of. So we started to travel the world together. Matter of fact, it was on a ski trip to the Swiss Alps where an avalanche buried us and I died. And so here I am today. And the woman just sitting there thinking, really? Sounds great. And he looks at her and he says, this is heaven looking there. This is incredible. I wanted, what do I have to do to get in? She looks at her widowed husband and says, all you have to do is spell one word correctly. And he's like, well, great. What do I have to do? What's the word? And she looked at him and said, Czechoslovakia. Done it. You can use that. It's not mine. Well, that's a funny story, but really, guys, what's more serious? Seriously, just stop for a moment. What's more serious than heaven or hell? What's more serious than where you'll spend your eternity? Which is based on the fact of whether you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but also once you do that, on how you live your life. We can't just live however we want and expect to go to heaven. And you think about heaven or hell, serious. Heaven or hell? We talk about, the Bible says heaven, eye has not seen nor ear heard what God has in store for those who love Him. Heaven is beyond our wildest comprehension, our wildest dreams. But then there's hell. And the Bible says about that, that there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and there will be a fire that will never go out. And it's really hard to even talk about. God's presence and paradise versus darkness, separation, and death. That's the difference in heaven or hell. And there will never be any question that you'll get the answer to on planet Earth that's more important than how do I get to heaven? And how do we get to heaven? So let's talk about that today as you think about what path your life is on. How does a person gain entrance into heaven? Who gets into heaven? This is a question that affects you, that affects everyone who is alive right now, who has ever lived. If you're here this morning, at some point you will breathe your last and you will transition from life into death. You will go into eternity, as we like to say. It's coming. Could be today, could be tomorrow, could be a long time from now. Who knows? But you have a choice to make, to say yes and accept Jesus or to say no to Him. And God is a loving God. That's why He sent Jesus. And so there's a wide gate and there's a narrow gate. And the wide gate is do whatever you want, think whatever you want, live however you want. And there's a narrow gate, which is accept God's love and grace, accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and live your life for Him. You need to take your life path seriously. As you sit here today, May the 22nd, 2016, today's a day that one or some of you might look back on for all of eternity as the day you made a choice or didn't make a choice. And I want to, let's see what Jesus has to say. Who's more qualified than Jesus, who has ever lived on planet Earth, to talk about the afterlife, heaven or hell? Anybody else come back from the dead? Anybody else conquer death? Anybody else has always been? Anybody else coming back? Anyone? Muhammad's dead. Buddha's dead. I could go on. Gandhi was a good guy. He's gone. I mean, we have to, I think, look and say, I think I would trust the words of Jesus more about heaven or hell than anyone else. And as Christians, we know that. But even just objectively as a person, I think that the words of Jesus regarding heaven or hell would take and carry more weight to me than anyone else's. So we have these verses, Luke 13, 22 through 30. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Luke 13 today, and we're going to talk about those verses. And I won't read them all now because we're going to go over some of them individually in just a moment. But it's Jesus, teaching, going to Jerusalem to be crucified, to die for your sins. And people ask Him about heaven, and He talks about the gates, and we'll go over that. But before we do, I want to talk about, in 2008, there was a Pew Forum on religion in America. And it surveyed a ton of Americans, and about two-thirds of all Americans, now this was 8 years ago, so I bet the number's higher now, two-thirds of all Americans said that there's more than one way to God, there's more than one way to get to heaven, that Jesus is one way but not the only way, which in effect they're saying, well then Jesus is a liar, so how could a liar be a way to get to God? Doesn't make any sense, does it? Two-thirds of all Americans said that thinking that Jesus was the only way to God, the only way to heaven, is narrow-minded and is harsh. You guys know Jesus was wise. 2,000 years ago, He talked about how people would think this way. They thought that way then, and they think this way now. And this is what these verses talk about, that people don't want to hear or accept that. And Jesus was a truth-teller, wasn't He? He told the truth 2,000 years ago. Do you guys know that you need truth tellers in your life? When you come here on Sunday morning, you're going to hear truth. And sometimes that truth requires a choice. Sometimes that truth hits too close to home, but that's good. It does the same thing for me at times. There was a sociologist named Christian Smith that says that Christianity is not the future of America. And as sad as that is, I would probably have to agree with that and think that we're probably, if not there, well on our way. He said that something called moralistic therapeutic deism is the future of America. And if you go up two slides, here's what we have. Does this sound like times right now? The central goal of life is to be happy and feel good about yourself. You know, you do you, you be you, follow your heart, your life is yours, pursue whatever makes you happy. Guys, a lot of the stuff that makes me happy is not good. And I've learned to turn to Jesus and His ways and to turn from those things. Because some of those are sinful. Some of those, a lot of those, the end is death. The end is chaos in this life. Things that bring temporary happiness that are outside of God's Word are always bad. God wants you to be happy because He loves you, but more importantly, He wants you to be saved. Jesus came that you would be saved. Jesus came that you would know Him. He wants you to have joy that is eternal and not temporary. He wants you to have abundant, full life in Him. And when we live by His Word, we get joy. We get the fruits of the Spirit, the peace, all those things. He wants you to be happy, but here's what He also realizes. He sees the bigger picture. Don't think that this 20, 30, 40, 60, 80, 90 years on earth is it. God sees the bigger picture. And sometimes hardship, suffering, sometimes trials, times where we're not happy, bring the greatest things in our life. I can testify to that. Some I brought on myself, some I haven't. Happiness is not the most important thing in my life. What happens in marriage is I'm not happy, so out. He's not making me happy. She's not making me happy. It's not their job to make you happy. You'll seek Jesus with your life, you'll be happy. I don't want to get off on that. So anyway, the central goal of life is to be happy. Number two, God does not need to be involved in one's life except when needed to resolve a crisis. My goodness, as a pastor, let me tell you how I live this every week. Now, don't get me wrong. If you're going through a crisis right now, the very first thing you should do is turn to Christ. You should turn to God. You should seek and say, I need help. I need healing. I need forgiveness. I need to, all kinds of things. And so that's a good thing. But nowadays, it's just, you know, crisis. I'm going to turn to God. And then when things get good, I'm going to never be seen at church again. Trust me, it happens until the next crisis. Good people go to heaven when they die. Now, if you hear these this morning, and I'm going to be honest, if you're sitting there thinking, those sound reasonable, your thinking stinks. Because these don't line, I'm not being critical, these don't line up with God's Word. You need to replace your thinking with the truth of God's Word. If these sound reasonable to you, you've got something going on. And guys, let me tell you, improper and inappropriate and flawed thinking is going to send a lot of people to hell when all is said and done. That's why the Bible says you have to renew your mind. Don't be transformed to this world. And listen, don't be transformed to how you think. How you think usually is wrong. How I think usually is wrong. My thinking, the Bible says, to bring every thought we have into captivity to Jesus Christ. So before I think something or I feel something, and that's right, what's God's Word say? Let me pray about it. Let me take a moment. Because it's easy for my thinking to get way off course as well. But just think about these statements right here. Good people go to heaven when they die. What's God's Word say? Nobody's good. I'm not good. Jesus said there's nobody good but God. He's perfect. And Jesus came to make us good and to make us right and to make us righteous through His sacrifice on the cross. Through our turning our lives to Him and repenting of our sins and living His way. We don't need God involved in our life. If that sounded reasonable, that's ridiculous. That's the one thing we were made for. That's the one thing I must have. The central goal of life is to be happy and to feel good about oneself. No, Jesus says that I'm supposed to lay my life down for Him as He did for me and live for Him. And that brings joy. That brings contentment, satisfaction. That brings happiness. And so this is kind of where we're at. And Jesus says this is not the way to get to heaven. Jesus says in John 8:58, Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus is the way to heaven. Jesus is the way to life. He's the way to life right now. When Jesus said this in John 8:58, what did the Jews set to do? They set to stone Him. And maybe for some of you here this morning, when you think Jesus is the only way, I must turn from my sin. I must, because for some of you, it's going to mean some life change. It's going to mean some serious stuff. But you must make a decision. Some hear this and get offended. Jesus is the only way. I have to be a Christian. He said it because it's true. He said it because He is love. He said it because He came to die for your sins and take your place for your judgment. He said it because it's true. Some here today, your thinking is so far off from God's Word and from good counsel and from right things. The very first thing you need to do is come to this altar before you leave and pray that God would change your heart. I need my heart. I mean, you don't think I need to pray and have my mind transformed? But the reason that the Jews were so offended at this is because this means that all of Jesus' words were authoritative. And there's not a truthful person here today. There's not some stuff in this Bible that doesn't bother you. Not that you don't think it's true or right, but you struggle to follow it. Right? You struggle to measure up to it. That doesn't mean it's not true. It's not for your good. It doesn't mean that it's not right. And so the words of Jesus from John 3:16 and all those wonderful verses, His words about the afterlife, about heaven and hell, and about how to get to heaven are true. And how you can get to heaven should matter to you. What should matter more than that? Anything more important this morning than how to get to heaven? You worried about the light bill? Worried about your health? And these are serious things. Your job, your family, your marriage. I get it. But nothing's more important than how you could get to heaven, because guess what? That's Jesus. And when your life is truly living for Jesus, those things tend to work for good, don't they? They really do. The unanswered prayers, the people that make you want to just scream, the good, the bad, the ugly, God tends to work those together for good when you're seeking Him and to follow Him with your life. So let's go over the verses real quick. What did Jesus say about how to get to heaven? John 13:22-24. Then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as He made His way to Jerusalem. And again, He was going to go to the cross. Someone asked Him, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" He said to them, listen to verse 24. "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and won't be able to." Verse 23, someone asked, "Hey, Lord, who's going to be saved?" You know what that person was doing? They were doing just what we do. I don't want to talk about me. Let's get broad and general here. Let's talk about denominations, and let's argue about eternal security and good people, and I could go on all day. And Jesus in verse 24 says stop, and He's saying this to you and I today. You need to take very seriously and very personally how you live your life and what life path you're on. Forget worrying about someone else and this church and that religion and politics. Stop. Does your heart belong to Jesus? You need to take very seriously. You need to make every effort to enter through the narrow door. I think that's just such wonderful advice. The only way to assure your salvation and your going to heaven is to give your heart and life to Jesus. But what do we do? Now, one of these next three examples is true for Christians, and the other two tend to be true for the world. But there's three isms I want to talk about just real briefly that what we do. If you're a Christian this morning, a lot of times this creeps into our life where we feel like the way to make sure we're going to go to heaven and all this is something called legalism. And it means pay your taxes, don't murder, don't steal, be good enough. Follow all God's rules. You make sure that everything is right, you watch nothing but G-rated movies, and you never say darn. That's how you get to heaven. Now, holiness is important. And then when you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you'll want to follow His word and live a good life. But legalism doesn't get you to heaven. And for some people, that replaces the love, the mercy, the grace, the compassion. It overtakes them. Now, what the world has done this day and age is they've done a couple things. The first one is called universalism, which means just believe something. You don't need to go to church. You don't need to worship. You don't need to obey God's word. You don't need to be kind. You don't need to smile. You don't need to serve. You don't need to forgive. Just believe that there's a God. Or now, you know what some people do? They use the term the universe. I hate that. The universe is the created people. The universe really had a plan. That's the dumb. That chair has a plan for my life. Just believe anything. And then the third one, you have legalism, universalism, and then you have pluralism. And number three is pluralism, which is just believe anything. You have legalism, you have just believe something, and I'm so sorry I messed the third one up. The third one is called universalism. Need more coffee from the youth cafe. Pluralism is believe something. Universalism is that everybody goes to heaven. Just, if you were born, you get to go to heaven. And I unfortunately have to do a lot of funerals, and I mean, I have never done a funeral of someone who wasn't going to heaven. Now, do I know for sure and know people's heart, etc.? I don't even want to say this because this is such a heartbreaking thing to say, but I'm quite sure all those people that were buried or cremated weren't going to heaven. I mean, I don't know for sure, but you know, we're known by our fruits in our life. You know, and there's kind of, you kind of know. But it just says if you just believe anything, you can go to heaven. If you were just born, you get to go to heaven. Everybody goes to heaven. Now, these views all have one thing in common, and I'm going to say a word, and some of you are going to love this. You're just going to think this is the greatest thing that we use this word, because that's what's wrong with our world. These views all have in common a sense of entitlement. There it is. That's right. Entitlement has pervaded our culture. It has pervaded the way that we think. And I believe it's pervaded our religion as well. You know, in America right now, entitlement has grown out of control. We have the right to offend, but not to be offended. You know, this is truly, we are cupcake nation. On our colleges now, you have safe zones, free speech zones. I don't want to hear anything that is outside of my viewpoint, so I don't have to hear anything you have to say. Everything is okay and must be accepted now, except for biblical Christianity. That's different. There's a sense of entitlement. Free health care. We're entitled to have our lives subsidized. I don't have to work or work hard. I can just live off the system. Now listen, I'm all for aid when done the right way. And if you're here this morning and you're a Christian and this is your church and you genuinely struggle, we're here to help you. Pastor Dan read a prayer. That's one of the big reasons we take up an offering. We want to help. But you've got to do your part as well. And entitlement, that's not right. It's grown out of control here in America. You know, free health care. Now there's going to be free college. That's great. I can stop paying my student loan. Wonderful. Life, we have a right to have our life subsidized. Free health care, free college. People these days work the system without conscience. Listen, there's times we all need help, but it is just worked and abused without conscience. And that, I believe, has crept into religion. God owes me. Church owes me. I'm going to heaven. I didn't ask to be born. Why do I have to give my life to Jesus? Jesus says, make every effort to enter through the narrow gate. He loves you. His salvation is a free gift, but you must accept it. You know what the Greek word is here, the phrase for enter through the narrow gate? It means to fight, to exhaust yourself, to do anything you can. Does that sound like how you're following Jesus this morning? Is that the path that your life is on? When I find myself exhausting myself to obey Jesus, to follow Him, to be in His Word, to love people that way, to be that kind of husband and father, to be that kind of pastor, I find that life just fits in a beautiful, glorious way. Are you fighting for your relationship with Christ? Are you fighting to see people come to Jesus? Don't take heaven for granted. I want to give you a quick quiz this morning. And listen, this is a tough one because I know you can't judge hearts, but you can kind of tell. What percentage of people would you say that you know? And now, don't just think of church friends or church people. But what percentage of people would you say that you know, that you see, that you are around, that love Jesus, that attend church, that serve, that give, that forgive, that read the Bible at home and bear good fruit and live lives that aren't obvious, blatant sins? What percentage of people? Because I thought for myself, maybe 20-25%, just to guess. Now, it's hard because I'm thinking of, and I don't know all of you real well because we're a big church and that's impossible, but I'm thinking just probably 20-25%. I mean, in Hoopston, about 20% of people attend church, not membership, but attendance. So that's a pretty good gauge that there's probably a few people that are shut in and have some legitimate excuses, but that's 80% that don't even go to church. But yet in America, when you ask people, are you going to heaven when you die, do you want to know what percentage say yes? Right at 90%. So guys, do 90% of the people you know love Jesus? But hold on, here's a bigger question, because we're doing this thing where we look at everybody else. If I ask someone about you, would they say that they're a Christian? They love Jesus, and it's obvious in their life. There's the question of the day. So let me ask you, is this expectation realistic that 90% of people are going to heaven? It's not what Jesus said, is it? It's God's desire. The Bible says He's patient. That's why Jesus hasn't returned. He wants more people to accept Him. He wants everyone to be in heaven. So one of two things is going on here in our culture. Either there's an entitlement mentality, which is a part of the truth, or people are just living in denial. Is it both? Probably a little bit. What about you? You have an entitlement mentality? I come to church, I believe in God, I'm going to heaven. Are you on that narrow road of really following Jesus with your life? Or I know, and I'm sure, unfortunately, maybe for a few of you here today, you're in denial. Living in sin, haven't accepted Christ, haven't been baptized, don't read God's Word, don't pray, don't love and forgive others. Oh yeah, but if my tire blew out today on Route 1, I'd be going to heaven. Would you? He wants you to. This is why I preach this. I want you to. I care. This is why we do this. In John 10, Jesus says, I am the door. Jesus says, no one's getting in but by me in a relationship with me. On His terms. Trust Him as Savior. Repent of your sins. Obey Him. Make Him the Lord of your life. Three verses this morning that speak to this. Acts 4 says, salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other way that you can be saved but Jesus. He is it. And He loves you. He doesn't want to beat you over the head about giving your life to Him. That's the preacher's job. For there's one God and one mediator between God and all of mankind, and that's Jesus Christ, who gave Himself as a ransom for all people. Now listen to this. If it was narrow-minded and harsh and that's, oh, Jesus is the only way, you're small-minded, then why did Jesus die for all people? Think about it. It's not at all. He died for all people. All are welcome to come. But we have to say yes. In 1 John, whoever has the Son has life, but whoever doesn't have Jesus does not have life. And listen, you know this morning if you have Jesus or not, and if you're confused, that you have to ask yourself, I need to make sure that I do, or find out why or how. Let's keep in the verses for just one more minute here. Once the owner of the house, this is about heaven, once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, Sir, open the door for us. But he will answer, I don't know you or where you came from. And you will say, but we ate and drank with you and you taught in our streets. But he will reply, I don't know you or where you came from, away from me. This is a kind of a parallel to Jesus describing. Many will say in that day, oh yeah, Jesus. And he'll be like, did I have a relationship with you? Did you talk to me? Did we pray together? Did your heart really belong to me? Guys, why do we preach so much about salvation and about heaven and hell, and why so many altar calls, and why don't we just come in and have really safe, nice, sanitized sermons where maybe we take a verse and we discuss it for half an hour? That's good too. Because what's more important than your eternity? What's more important than you saying yes to Jesus? Life versus death, love versus joy in this life, God versus darkness, paradise of heaven versus the torment of hell. Because guys, see, once we pass from this life, it's too late. That's it. That's it. Now's the time if you have it. And Jesus says, are you reading this? One day the door to heaven, go back please, one day the door to heaven will be closed. How in the world can the door to heaven ever be closed? Well, three ways. Number one, it could be by your death. And again, you don't know. It could be by your death. It could be by Jesus returning. But the third way is the scariest. The third way is the scariest, and that's by the hardening of your heart. It's by the hardening of your heart, of you sitting in church and maybe getting a dab of religion. Maybe later, we'll see. I don't know what I believe. I don't know if I want to be a Christian. Maybe for some of you, you've just been in the driver's seat of your life too long and you're not giving it up. That's the scariest way. Because the words of Jesus from last week and again today, they're very unsettling to me, where He says, I don't know you. I never knew you. I mean, to go into eternity and to hear that, you'll never experience anything in this life that will even be in the ballpark of such a thing that Jesus could say. Because Jesus is talking about relational knowledge, not intellectual knowledge. Listen to this. Religious superficialities will not get you into heaven. I came to church some. I believed in God. Mere affiliation with Jesus will not save your soul. You submitting your heart and life to Him will. You turning to Him and calling upon Him as your Lord and Savior and repenting from your sins and saying, Jesus, I'm going to live my life for You. And you're still going to sin and struggle. but it's about your heart. The Bible says that Jesus stands at the heart of your door and knocks. Will you let Him in? Some of you have let Him in, but then you've moved to a different room. You need to get back right with Him. Think of Mary and Martha. I don't have time for the story this morning, but Martha was just busy and she was caught up in life. And some of you, that's you today, and you've kind of grown lukewarm. And then you had Mary who just knew that she needed Jesus. She needed Him and nothing else, and everything else would be okay. And that's the message of today. And here's the eternal question for you today. Do you know Him? Let me ask you this. Does He know you? Great quote. More than Jesus wants our acts of piety, more than He wants our adherence to religion, more than He wants our observance of rules and rituals, more than He wants our words, He simply wants to know you and for you to know Him. You know how true that is? Dan, we're going to be done in just a minute. Today, He stands at the door of your heart and He knocks. Will you let Him in? Why do we always do this? Because this is your eternity we're talking about. What path is your life on today? In Luke 13, 28 through 30, Jesus says this, and I just, it's hard to read. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and all the people going into heaven, but you yourself won't get in because you never gave your life to Jesus. People will come that have all that have ever lived and will take their places at the feast in heaven, the kingdom of God, for all of eternity to be with God, to be with Jesus, to experience joy and family reunions and abundance and fullness and perfection and no more sin and no more death and no more tears. But many will just choose to say nah to Jesus. If that's you today, would you just say yes to Him? Don't do it for me. Do it for you. Do it for your eternity. Do it for Him. Which path is your life on today? Jeremiah 6:16. Love it. This is what the Lord says. He says, stand at the crossroads and look. And look for God's way. Ask what the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. You will find salvation. You will find everything you've ever been looking for in Jesus Christ. But most will say, I don't want to do that. We will not walk in those ways. What path is your life on this morning? Jesus says no one comes to God but by Him. Would you stand with me this morning? And as you stand, I don't want you to think it's almost time to go. I want you to think that if you've never given Jesus your heart and your life, that one day you might be at that very moment thinking of this day in church where you hardened your heart. Some of you sometimes feel like you should come and pray. You feel like you should respond, but you let the enemy win. You do anything you can to not be sensitive to God's Holy Spirit working on your heart. As you have an invitation to say yes or to no to Jesus, and He wants you to say yes so much, but He has very clearly warned us today that if we choose to make no decision or to reject Him, that when that moment comes of going into eternity, it'll be horrible. But He offers you just the opposite. He offers you life. He offers you forgiveness. He offers you life right now if you will just say yes. So as we sing in a moment, I'd love for you to come and someone will pray with you if you've never said yes to Jesus or you just need to pray about anything. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, as we prepare to respond to You, Lord God, this is not about anything else but the souls in this room, but the eternities that are facing each and every one here, that one day, one moment, and we don't know how soon we will transition, Lord, from this life into eternity. And God, this is why the church exists, to share the good news that You've offered us eternal life. You've offered us forgiveness. You've offered us grace. You've offered us a way to live our lives now, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that hearts will be open to responding to You right now this morning, May 22nd, Lord, before it's too late. Lord, we would say yes to You and to Your love. We would say yes to heaven and to, Lord, eternal life. And Lord, we would stop saying yes to ourselves and our ways and our paths. But Lord, we would turn our lives to Your way. In Jesus' name, amen.